We've all definitely had a time where we weren't 100% sure what GPS means when it says turn right. Now that's obviously a really extreme example, but again, it's pretty common that we struggle and have user error when following directions. And unfortunately, user error is common enough when following God's directions. Our passage today is all about a journey, the journey of the Israelite people out of Egypt and into the promised land of Canaan. And in that journey, God served as their leader and their GPS. But as we see, as we're going to see, God's directions offered several challenges for the people who were unfortunately very prone to this kind of user error. But before we consider some of these challenges, let's think about the context of Exodus 13. So God, through Moses, had just finished sending the 10 plagues on Egypt. He was trying to prove his power to Pharaoh in order to rescue his people. So this final plague had happened. All the firstborn children had been killed. This angel had gone through the city at night, and all of the Israelite people were instructed to put the blood of a lamb on the doorposts so the angel would know not to go into that house. It would pass over them. And so Pharaoh, who had been devastated by that final plague, finally came to terms with God's power, and he gave Moses and the Israelites permission to leave Egypt. And so now Moses was going to take the people out of the place they knew into the desert. And it was here that God was going to guide their path towards the promised land. And God uses this very spectacular means of guidance. Exodus 13, 22, or 21 through 22 says, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light so they could travel by day or night." Pillars of cloud and fire. That's an amazing way to be led. Now, when you or I decide to take a trip or a journey, we're basically in charge of everything. We get to choose the route. We get to pick where we stop, when we stop, for how long. We can decide the comfort level of our car by turning the air conditioning on or off, by surrounding ourselves with snacks and drinks, which for me, the trip is all about having the right snacks and drinks. We get to choose the radio station or whether we listen to anything at all. But for the Israelites, all of these choices had been made for them. God knew the route. God chose when they would stop and when they would start. God even provided them the snacks of manna and quail. And even Moses, their leader, who was able to talk to God, more or less served as the Siri. He was the voice of the GPS. So their role in the journey was simply to follow. And their journey, as they would come to discover, would be full of danger and challenges. So this morning we're going to take a closer look at three of those particular challenges that the people of God faced and what they say about the truth of what it means to follow after God. And then through their experiences, we can start to answer the question for ourselves, what does it mean for us to follow God today? So challenge one is that God led them by the scenic route. I don't know if you had this growing up, but my parents, they always liked to take the scenic route, which was very frustrating because it added quite a bit longer amount of time to whatever the trip was. And when you're a kid, anything feels like a million years in the car. And so God took them by the scenic route. This is what it says in Exodus 13, 17. "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle." So from the very get-go, God took Moses and the people on the most indirect way to get to where they were going, that in fact would eventually be blocked by this large body of water. Essentially, if Egypt was here, And this is the promised land over here. God goes down this way. Now, the quickest path to Canaan would have been through this desert, but it would have been through the country of Philistia. And God knew that this would mean an inevitable battle with the refugee people. The scripture tells us that the people knew this, and in fact, they left Egypt prepared for battle. But God had something different in mind. So what do we learn about God's leading from this challenge? To the Israelites, avoiding Philistia made zero sense. It was the quickest, most direct route. And even though they would have to enter battle, they were prepared, or they thought that they were prepared, to pay that cost. God knew, however, they weren't ready for that type of a fight, and that their losses would eventually force them to return to Egypt. So what we learn is that when God leads, He makes the best decisions on behalf of His people, even if they don't seem to make sense by our standards. The second challenge that the people faced is that the people are pursued. They were pursued. Exodus 14, starting in verse 6, says, "When the king of Egypt was told their people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, 'What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and lost their services.' So he had his chariot made ready, and he took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal-Zephon." So, here's what we get. We have Pharaoh, who had changed his mind over and over and over again about letting the people of God go so many times, till finally it took this terrible plague of this angel killing all the firstborn. He finally let them free. And then even after that, he changes his mind again and decides they're going to chase God and chase the Israelite people. He came with the full force of his army and 600 chariots. The Israelites had absolutely no chance of survival against this. No chance. And not only had Pharaoh changed his mind, but it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart once again. God made sure that Pharaoh was going to go through with this following after the people. But as we're going to find out in a moment, God had a plan. So what do we learn about God's leading from this challenge? Well, following after God does not mean that everything is going to be easy, that bad situations, events, or people will not come after us. And in fact, I would say that following after God guarantees that evil will pursue us. Jesus tells us in John 15, 18, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." Following God is always the harder way to go. The third challenge that the people faced is that the way seemed impossible. Exodus 14, 1 through 2, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite of Baal-Zephon.'" God had led the people to this impossible situation. They were between a rock and a hard place, or really between an army of Egypt, the full army of Egypt, and this giant body of water. Neither option would be particularly promising. They could either face the army that they weren't strong enough to confront while they were slaves in Egypt, or they could go for a swim. So with their backs to the Red Sea, the people cry out to Moses, and they demand to know why he had dragged them out into the desert so they would be killed there. This is what they say in Exodus 14, 10 through 12. "As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert. So the Israelites were stuck, and the way seemed impossible. In fact, the way on their own behalf, by their own means, was impossible to escape and survive, but not to God. God would do not one but two miracles to prove his power and his love for Israel. First, God would use this pillar of fire and this pillar of cloud that had been the directional guides for them as a shield. And so the people were stuck against the sea. God took this pillar of fire and bam, he put it down right in front of the Egyptians and they scattered. It confused them. It probably terrified them. And then through Moses, he split the water. He made this dry path for the people to cross through. And then God would use the power of the sea to crush the pursuing Egyptian army. And so what do we learn about God's leading from this challenge? Allowing God to lead means that we have to give complete control of the situation over to him. In order to prove this, God may lead us to a place where we are completely incapable without his power. I want to let that sink in, because as much as we can say, sure, I'll let God lead, to be in a place where we are completely incapable without him is kind of a terrifying thought. We and God cannot be in control at the very same time. Only God or us can be in control. And in fact, the very last decision that we'll ever get to make is, God, take my life and let it be yours. So why did God choose to lead the Israelites in this way with so many challenges, when it would have been so easy for him to just take them straight across the desert and take care of the armies of the Philistines, and they would have been in the promised land and none of this would have ever happened? Well, there are three possible reasons that I can see for this. First, God was testing their faith. Second, God was testing their obedience. And then third, God was testing whether or not they had truly given him control. So what? So in light of God's actions and the people's response, what can we learn about what it means for us to follow after God today? There are several observations I want to make about their journey and the challenges that they faced, and then a few questions I would like us to ask ourselves in order to see if we understand what it truly means to follow after God and to assess whether or not we are ready to face those challenges in doing so. So the first observation I have is that the signs that God gave the Israelites were very obvious and very apparent. They had these giant pillars of fire and cloud that would go from the ground all the way to the sky. So even the most skeptical of the Israelites would see very clearly that something weird is going on here, that God is present, and there's no way to explain that away other than it has to be God. And yet they still struggled to follow his leading. We don't get that same luxury, do we? We don't have those same obvious signs and signals that God is leading us. So what kind of faith might it take for us to follow God when his leading is not as apparent? The second observation I have is that God spoke his directions and plans directly to Moses, who then communicated those plans directly to the people. And in spite of having that direct line of communication with God, the people still complained and rebelled. So for us, I wonder, what is the role of having the help of spiritually mature Christians like a Moses in discerning God's will? Do we know people who are more attuned to God's voice through prayer? And what is the role of church leadership in determining God's leading? The third observation I would like to make is that God led the Israelites into places that just didn't make sense, in situations that seemed impossible. So the question for us is, how do we persevere when God is leading us in directions that make no sense? The fourth and final observation I want to make is that the Israelites who left Egypt to go to the Promised Land never got to see the Promised Land. Because they continued to disobey, God led them through the desert for 40 years with the purpose that every person that came out of Egypt would die, and that the generations that followed, their children and grandchildren, would be the ones that got to go into Canaan. And this included Moses. The reward for following God didn't go to the people who followed God. It went to their children and their grandchildren. And so my question is, how do we follow God when the rewards are not immediate? And what if we never see the fruits of our labors? So how do we follow after God? Five things. First, we have to make a conscious decision that we are going to give up control over to God. And then we have to commit to remain obedient to that decision. Secondly, we need to prayerfully consider and seek God's direction through regular practices of listening and discernment. To listen is just to spend time in prayer and to stop talking in prayer and give a few moments for God to answer us. And we do this both alone and together to allow God to speak. Thirdly, we need to spend regular time in God's Word so that we know what His will and character are like, so that when we get those directions that seem to not make a whole lot of sense, we can say, well, how I know God out of the Bible, this seems to be the way He's leading me. Fourthly, we need to spend time in community and test what we believe to be God's will and direction together. We do this by reading Scripture together. We do this by praying together. We do this by making decisions through discernment and consensus together. And then finally, and most importantly, we need to realize that God's wisdom is not the wisdom of the world, and that God's ways do not make sense to the ways of the world. But just because it doesn't seem wise to us, or just because it doesn't make sense to us, does not mean that God is not leading. It just means that we need to give over control to the one whose love for us and wisdom is greater than we can understand. So in the months to come, as we as a congregation discern where God is leading us, both as individuals and as a body, let us commit to praying together, to scripture reading, to gathering as a community and discerning. And let us hold fast to the same faith that led the Israelites out of Egypt into the Promised Land, that the same God who led them is the same God who is leading us today. Let us pray. Show us your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are our God, our Savior, and our hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love. Amen. I invite the worship team forward to lead us in a response song.